Hello and welcome. This is the kickoff to a new series we're going to begin on the Voice in the Wilderness podcast. Our main goal with this podcast is to equip, encourage young Christians through biblically sound teaching and easily consumable explanations about topics of the faith that aren't always covered from the pulpit on Sunday mornings. In keeping with that theme, we're going to explore the meaning, the theology, and the scriptural basis for some of these new worship songs that we sing in our church. And you probably do too if you don't go to our church. By dissecting these songs and proving their validity, we hope that more people who are incredulous about the modern worship movement would be willing to fully embrace them as theologically sound and even transformative in their life. We will mostly look at the places in scripture that these songs are based out of, but sometimes we might look at hymns, since there's a lot of hymn lovers who are antagonistic against new worship songs. By proving that these songs teach the same theological concepts as the old hymns, hopefully we can soften some hearts. That's going to be a main goal of doing these as well. Just to give an overview of what modern worship is, when we sing songs together, we're doing multiple things. For one, we're putting Jesus on the throne of our lives. We're giving God the glory and the praise that He deserves. A life of worship is so much more than singing songs in a church service, but if you're not a part of a congregation, you're missing a huge aspect of worship as we gather for these special moments of praising Him and thanking Him. This simple act of giving praise to God is how we live out our purpose as His people. In doing so, we're once again acknowledging that He is all we need in this world and yielding control to Him. That's one of the things that we do in worship at its most basic level. It's a part of worship that goes outside of the gathering and coats our every moment, but it's also important to recognize that we are stepping into and seeking a holy moment with God as the community of Christ. This means that our worship is full of expectation. These moments of corporate worship are special and important for us as we recenter ourselves in His presence at least once a week. Corporate worship is nothing new. It has been practiced since long before Jesus' time. I mean, just look at how many songs are recorded in the Old Testament. Finally, we are inviting His movement and presence in our lives. We don't simply step into the holy moment of worship and sit there and bask in His glory for the sake of doing so. There is a result to this practice of corporate worship. Your specific congregation gets to grow together in the practice of the presence of God and carry Him with you as individual Christians in your attack on life. These times fill our cup and charge us up to face our challenges and to face the dark world as a light. Without His presence in you, acting in a tangible way, you're just another person. But if you fully realize your potential as one who carries the Spirit of God, you will be a world changer. Corporate worship builds this dimension in our lives as Jesus followers. So now that we've laid out a very basic look into our modern worship practice and expectation, let's go ahead and dive into this week's song dissect with a look into C.C. Winans' Believe For It. This song is really powerful, and one of the critiques against modern worship that some people will give is that it's just an emotional experience. It's just a time the music is moving, the instrumentation, it's manipulative. And I mean, I've heard all those things said before, but really when you get down to what modern worship is it's the most holy time where you can give God what He deserves, and that's your devotion. That's our devotion as a group and as a church. And so we chose to do this song, and we stand by what it says. And, you know, it starts off, the very first verse is, "They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know You like we do. There is power in Your name." And right off the bat, that's just some really big truth. And you can look at Matthew 17:20, where Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So for some context there, there was a demon-possessed boy who had some health issues associated with his demon possession, and the disciples were not able to heal him. Then they brought the boy to Jesus, the disciples explained what was happening, and Jesus immediately rebuked them for it and healed the boy. The disciples later asked Jesus, well, why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we heal the boy? And why couldn't we remove the demon from the boy? And Jesus answered with that phrase, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. The other theme that this song brings back to is chains breaking and freedom from bondage. That's a huge concept in our faith, and it spawns back all the way back from Old Testament times. If we look at Psalm 107, 10 through 16, it says this, some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through iron bars. So we see here these very poetically written verses in Psalm about people who rebelled against God, against his commands. It even says they despised the plans of the Most High, and there was a punishment for that. They were punished. Then they cried to the Lord, though. And we know that as repenting. When you are caught doing something wrong, when you make a mistake, and then you repent for that mistake, you admit that you did something wrong, that's when God offers up forgiveness and forgives us of those sins. And here we see God breaking people from their bondage that they earned for themselves. And the context there is that our God is a God of freedom. So many times, God's people were put into captivity. I referenced the Old Testament a second ago. You look at that, and many of those times they were put into captivity after they rebelled. And to this day, God breaks the chains of sin and bondage and sets us free. It's only through Jesus that we experience ultimate freedom. In keeping with the theme of this song, we can believe that God will break our chains even if we put them there ourselves. That's huge. That's why we have to sing it. That's why this song is important. We have to say it to believe it, that God will break our chains. We can believe it, that he's the chain breaker, that he can move mountains. We can know that about him. Then the next verse is, we've heard that there's no way through. We've heard that the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There's power in your name, so much power in your name. A lot of this song is confronting the voices of culture and our own doubts within us that we have embraced. You know, there are these faithless remarks that there's no way we could prevail. There's no way the body of Christ can be relevant and effective in today's world. Then the song goes back to the main reference of the power in the name of Jesus. And that's both referring to the fact that all power and authority has been given to Jesus in Matthew 28, but also brings into account the concept that anything can be done when you ask of it in the name of Jesus. So looking at John 14, 13 through 14. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Then we look at the chorus. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we will see a miracle. God, we believe for it. And that's what we do. We don't just believe in all those things. We believe for all those things. All these miracles, salvation, restoration, chains broken, impossible things done because of the power of God. Matthew 19:26 says, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. In this scripture right here, the reason we chose to bring the song Believe For It into our own church context, it's Jesus's answer to the confusion and the doubt and the doubts that we face about how he changes lives. In this part of scripture, Matthew 19:26, the disciples were astonished because Jesus just said that it was extremely difficult for a rich man to inherit the kingdom of God. They asked, who then could ever be saved? And that's when Jesus responds, "With God, all things are possible." That's why we believe in God's power, which is not only theoretically powerful enough to do all things, but that is active and real today to do all things. When we sing this song, it starts off broad, but it narrows down like a funnel to the most important miracle, and that is salvation. So then, if we believe God is awesome in power to redeem us among all things, this promise that he's made to redeem all things, we can begin to understand how his power is enough to do all other things along the way. Then we can believe for the breakthrough that we need. The next verse, we know that hope is never lost, for there is still an empty grave. God, we believe no matter what, there's power in your name. We can't overlook that. And for those of us born and raised in the church, it's just a given. This is really the exclamation point of our faith, the thing. Jesus rose from the grave. Matthew 28:6. So the angel says he is risen. It's a non-negotiable requirement. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, our faith is meaningless. It's based on absolutely nothing. It has been said many times, the thing that separates Christianity from all the world religions is that the founders of all those other religions are in the ground. They're dead. But Jesus defeated death. If you believe that, you believe in the power of God, and you have to believe that the power of God is active. Believing in the resurrection of Jesus is believing in salvation, because that's what salvation is pointing to, is our own resurrection. We get to participate in that with Jesus. For the new creation. All right, we're almost to the end of this song now. We're looking at the bridge. You are the way when there seems to be no way. We trust in you, God. You have the final say. And it says that a couple times. Proverbs 3:6, in all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. When we have faith in God's power, we trust in him. When we trust in him, we submit to him. And then he works out all of the details. We don't need to try to be achievers. We don't need to try to do all these things that lead to worldly success. We can trust in him, submit to him, and he will make our path straight. He will bless us. And finally, there's a small ending section of this song that really comes to some powerful confessions. It says, "You said it, I believe it. You said it, it is done." And when you participate in this song, I want to challenge you to not just say the words and then move on with life. This is the finality of our faith here. He said it, I believe it, it is done. God is good. Jesus is the only way to salvation. And if you're born again, your name is written in the book of life. Revelation 21:27 says, "Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Man, the call there, and as we're singing those last words of the song, "You said it, I believe it, it is done." Don't be a lukewarm Christian. If you truly believe God is who he said he is, you know that he is worth every second of devotion and thought. Believe him, live out your belief, pray your belief, participate in the church like you believe what the Bible says about the church. Believe for it. Don't just say you believe it, actually believe it. Don't just believe it's possible, believe for it that it's happening. Don't just believe it's possible, believe it's happening. That's the encouragement of this song. That's why we adopted it, because we know that the Spirit's moving and we want to capitalize on that by allowing him to move. God always wants to move in all of our churches. So thank you for listening. I hope you were blessed by this song dissect. Feel free to leave any feedback or ask questions at Salem First Young Adults. That's Salem FYA on Instagram. We'd love to meet you too. If you live in the area, sign up for our newsletter to stay up to date about events and happenings in our local Salem community. Also, remember to check this episode description for our links and to see the scripture we used in this episode. Thanks for listening.